Kesinlikle. Ronaldo'nun ne kadar?
Tana.
Oğlum. İki kosa.
So Garcia,
Here.
Wilmer Lovelace,
Here.
Jen Carter from Japan,
Here.
Matias Lemos Castillo,
Here.
Dolan Ruota,
Here.
Lisa Hempstead, here. Welcome, everyone. We have a motion to approve the minutes from the October 10th conference meeting.
I'll move. D'accord.
Thank you. Does anyone register for public comment? We do not have any written register. All right. Yep, go. Okay. All those in favor of approval of the October 10th, 2024, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Do any board members have any questions or comments? And then you want us to share anything for the board experience?
Let's have a quick look back. I know Hunter had asked him, like, well, he said that he's kind of here inside. But Hunter had asked if we can move him off on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay. How far up should we leave? Okay. Well, I want to congratulate Connor and Jimmy on a wonderful book fest. I heard big success. A lot of my family is talking about it this week, especially with Jeff Kinney presentation. And I'm very much looking forward to drowning my sorrows at the episode. Yeah, looking forward to celebrating fellow library members. And we don't have to worry about a forum or anything to access because it's a social event. So, tomorrow, tomorrow. All right. New business. We'll start with Tana. Do I have a motion to approve the October 2024 Director's Report? Thank you, Jen. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Felice.
Well, a fair amount has happened since I wrote that board report. I'd like to highlight that the referendum passed. So we have, go for that. So that means no reductions in Sunday hours. It means no reductions in programming. We have two vacant positions, or one vacant and one anticipated retirement. Those two positions will be put forward for RIDAL positions. So we won't be filling those. It will mean a slight reduction in programming, but we had our programming funds restored. And I think most important, we had a plan for 2025, but had the referendum not passed, we would have seen successive cuts. You know, we'll still have 1% or 2% or 3% holdings. We'll still have salary savings, so we'll still see slight cuts. You know, for example, in 25, we were asked to spend 99% of our budget. According to the mayor's five-year plan, we would be asked to do that again in 26. I think it's 2% or 27. So we'll still see some slight reductions, but we won't see immediate cuts, and knowing that we'll eventually have to get to that 22 million. So no idea how that's all going to play out with the new climate, but, you know, it's a good start for us moving into the RIDAL project for now. And then, you know, we're already starting to think about the impacts the result of the election will have at the national level, might affect funding opportunities, might affect legislation that affects libraries. So really too early to predict at this time, although we do have some experience from 2016 to 2020. So, you know, I'll be paying more attention, even more attention to some of the national groups in terms of guidance and what might be coming, what kinds of things we can prepare for. I think, you know, knowing the past, We've worked with other nonprofits to address concerns about patron privacy and security. We'll be looking at some of the policies that we have. So in our policy review, we might be moving up some of those policies so that we get those in place sooner and fully understand them and, you know, are ready for any challenges or concerns that might happen. Confidentiality of library records, for example, was one that was slated to happen sometime in 25 that will be moved up so that we're addressing that earlier. But, you know, I would like to thank all of our staff for really going above and beyond in the work that they did in the election. It made a huge difference. I don't have numbers yet, but we had staff registering people to vote. Typically, during a presidential election year, we have a huge spike in registrations. I think because of the mixed messages. So we had a lot of people canvassing throughout the city, you know, with iPads or forms and saying, sign up, register to vote. A lot of that was by outside groups that maybe didn't fill out the forms correctly. And so a lot of people, I worked the polls on election day at the UW. And so a lot of people came in and they thought they were registered and they weren't actually registered because they forgot to sign a line or, you know, the forms weren't turned in or whatever. And so we've been hearing about this from the clerk's office for a while. But, you know, our staff registered probably thousands of people to vote over the course of the year, helped with in-person absentee voting. We had long, long lines at every library from what I'm told, and registered, you know, at Central Library on the day of the election. 50% of that ward had voted absentee in advance. And so that was very common across the city, and we had a really great turnout for the election, and we had some good local results. So huge kudos to staff. Yes, go on.
Just curious, no issue, no conflicts?
No major issues that I'm aware of. There was one incident in one of our libraries, but it was a typical behavior issue. And so we were able to move that person to the front of the line, get them to vote, and then ask them to leave. So we didn't want to impede their ability to vote, but we also, you know, can't allow certain behavior in the library. So I think there were a few incidents across the city, but nothing major.
Great.
Nothing that other cities, some other cities that we've been reading about have experienced.
That's why I asked.
All of the outcome news with having those people stand in line by our shelves. You told me over the phone that we had a number of people, large number of people asked to sign up for a library card.
Yeah, and maybe other people can speak to that, but, you know, I've heard from various staff that Jill at Mineral Street said she signed 14 people up in one day, for example, when she started actively saying, hey, do you want to sign up for a library card? You have all the documentation you need. I know that that happened in some other libraries. I know that our social messaging was encouraging people, like, as long as you're here, let's do this other thing. I worked at Mutteridge for like an hour a while back, and we signed a couple of people up during that time. I registered someone for a library card, which I haven't done in a really long time, which was really fun. But they had all their documentation with them. So we don't have those numbers either, but I'll be reporting on that in December so that we can see that spike. And we will have unusual numbers, I would say, as a result of the election.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also want to highlight, let's see, with Imagination Center updates, we are moving forward on accepting that FFP funding. We have 45 days to do that. That is due on November 22nd, and Lori and others are working through making sure that we're getting the, I don't know, 15 forms that we need signed, many different things, including an environmental report of the site, and like a huge checklist of things to do. And so we are working through that and plan to get that done on time. These are federal funds that are given to states. These are one-time funds. It was leftover ARPA money. There's probably a more eloquent way to say that, but basically it was, you know, there was a pot of money that was remaining there. It was given to states. DPI or DPI helped with this process, but it was the Department of Administration that gave the award. And so this is the one-time funding source. So just kind of wanted to highlight that in terms of it's not something that we can go back for in a couple of years if we have another building project and ask for more funds. And because it's federal funds, I don't anticipate any problems because these are federal funds coming to the state. But again, I got a message from the mayor today saying, you know, if you have federal funds where you're waiting to accept the funds or waiting to spend them, let us know, because that may change. I'm anticipating that will change for money that comes to the state for libraries as well. There's a lot of possibility there.
I have a question. I don't exactly know if this would apply, but I know that the ARPA obligation deadline is at the end of 2024. Does that mean that we have to have any kind of contract in place by then, or is it just that it's been obligated to us now and we can spend it as we wish? There's no deadline.
There is a deadline. So the deadline is that the project needs to be done and open in October 26th.
Okay.
So, and then there's also a deadline for, I'm sorry, I said 26th.
Yeah.
I think, okay. Yeah. Construction has to begin July of 25, right? June or July of 25.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that does, you know, in accepting these funds, we have committed to that timeline. And then on good news, which Connor will tell more about, but just to highlight that I think that funding commitment and that timeline commitment has helped donors realize, like, this is really going to happen, especially donors who might have been hearing about this project for a while. So I will wrap it up there and let Connor share the good news if there are any more questions for me.
Well, it's a capital project.
It is capital funding.
So does that offset what the city had budgeted for their component of line building? That they just basically say that?
Yes, the way that we accepted the funds, or once the funds are formally accepted and we sign all the paperwork, is that the expectation is that we would borrow less, but we didn't say a specific amount in case the project comes in a little over what we budgeted for, or, you know, things change. So we... The plan is that we would get most of that $4.25 million and not borrow that
right.
one. So that would be a reduction of the debt we were looking for the project.
Thank you, Beth. All those in favor of accepting that $4.24 million, say aye. Sorry, can you get the microphone to turn on? Sorry.
You feel
a green light.
Hey, Connor Moran from Mass Public Library Foundation. I only have good news to share today, which feels great. To Tana's point about the Imagination Center, in the weeks from the Monday that we received the grant of flexible facilities through the following Friday, we raised $500,000 for the private fundraising toward the Imagination Center. Two were private individual gifts, and two were large foundation gifts. So the Roots and Wings Foundation gave a gift of $100,000, and the Madison Community Foundation gave a gift of $250,000. That is the largest gift they gave this year in their yearly grant making. They also made that gift contingent on the project moving forward. So the timing of that gift with the timing of the city accepting the money and locking into a time frame was really fortunate for the project, because there was some doubt in that room about whether the project would move forward. I will also say that in the conversations that I had with them, the conversations I've heard all of you have, and the what I would say is strident backing for this project, was also very helpful to me and resonant with them about the fact that we were going to find a way to make this work, you know, whatever happened. So those are great things. We're moving into some other phases of the campaign now, but we did cross halfway. We have fewer than $2 million left to raise out of the $4.5 million that we had set out to raise. So we feel like we're in a great position. It is my hope that with a couple of other larger gifts, we'll be able to open up the public phase of the campaign right around the time when we break ground. So I love it when those things work out, but we'll see what exactly happens. The other two things I wanted to mention, we did have an absolutely incredible Wisconsin Book Festival. It was the largest number of people coming to the four-day festival since 2018. It was back above 2019, so definitely back above pandemic attendance. It was probably something like a fifth of the overall program attendance for Central Library in a given year, all over those 4 days. Anyone who was there, I think, can attest that the audiences were incredibly engaged. I did it for 10 years. No one ever told me the Q&A was good, and everyone told Jane that the Q&A was good this year. So that felt great, but there was just an aura in the building, in the room. It was a beautiful weekend, and that is usually a terrible result for the book festival, and numbers were up. So it was really lovely, and it was a real great way to give people a reason to come see Central. We had so many people who talked about how it was the only time that they'd ever been there. Things like the We Read Youth Voices project, where kids were able to be honored for their written work, were just absolute wonderful, wonderful moments throughout. So thank you to everyone at the library who helped us put that together. And thank you to all of you for supporting that project. And also thank you for your support of tomorrow night's event, Ex Libris. Just before I got here, we have already raised $20,000 just from the silent auction. We will have raised more than $100,000 to benefit libraries just from this one night alone. We'll have 600 people coming to the library tomorrow evening, 37 food vendors, live DJ, all sorts of things. We're very excited to host many of you and to host a huge swath of the public. This is the biggest Ex Libris we've ever had. We've had to reimagine some of how we do things, and it's a real wonderful place to be. So thank you all. And if you have other questions about the foundation, I'm happy to take them, but that's my report.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve Madison Public Library's collection development policy and request for reconsideration form?
I'll second.
So, reading the policy, I enjoyed it. I don't think I ever did. It has a story.
The only comment I had was had to do with the question about whether the person's challenging the book resides in one of our SCLS counties, and I'm not sure that we need to have it on form, but maybe our staff needs to know what those counties are if someone comes and challenges the book.
So I did add language into the request for consideration materials portion of the policy that says that requests would be considered from residents of the South Central Library System service area.
Mm-hmm.
And because our staff register patrons from all the counties, I don't know where to spell out
okay.
which counties they are, but
we can just link the South Central Library System back to the online version of the policy.
Yeah,
at least.
Okay. Yeah. Similar to the way we linked to the ALA Bill of Rights, that's right to me. In the request for reconsideration form, we did add email address for Thomas request.
Mm-hmm.
And do you reside in Madison or South Central Library?
So,
yeah. Okay. All those in favor of approving Madison Public Library's election development policy and the request for reconsideration form, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is item 9.1, the approval of the 2025 Madison Public Library operating calendar. So that looks like the last few meetings. I said, thank you for putting in the calendar for me.
Mm-hmm.
And colors.
Mm-hmm. Color coding is awesome.
Questions or comments? Do I have a motion to approve?
So move.
That's it.
Any questions? So then it puts the operating calendar for the library hours. It does have a meeting calendar, just so it's all in one place for meetings. I will be sending out early next week invites for the 2025 meeting calendar.
Okay,
and I'll like have locations on the invite and then we can send out the general the calendar that we with the board of group approved as well. But for this one, the meeting dates are just sort of a bonus on here when we're talking about the library closed days basically and open days.
And this has one closed for the All those in favor of approving the 2025 Mass and Public Library operating calendar, please say aye.
Aye.
Next up is item 85372. Do I have a motion to approve the September 2024 financial report?
I'll move.
Thank you. Yes, and I'm
second. Yeah,
second. Thank you. Lori, would you like to move the
call? Yes. I didn't really have a lot to call out on the reports this time, other than the estimated fund balance for the year end has been updated using the year end projection data. And again, it's still just an estimate, so we can figure the city post transaction all the way through March. The levy and earned revenue fund balance is expected to increase by about 40,000. Private fund balance is expected to decrease by about 80,000. That's to be expected. We are supposed to spend down the money that we get from people. And so we did a better job this year of that, and that's why that will continue to be steady up here. So that's a good thing. And then you'll see some notes in the year-end budget projection and budget transfer request to you of shuffling some budget between some supplies and services. If I don't know exactly what somebody's going to use the money for when they get it, I take my best guess and bring the budget in. And then as maybe some of these larger projects expand, like the new AV equipment, all of a sudden, that is no longer a supply that we're going to be getting, but it's going to be a service that we're going to be purchasing. So I just have to move the budget funds between the services and supply to make sure that our budget is actually where we're truly spending.
I was just wondering, I know we had a conversation a while ago about the room reservation rates. So did those rates go into effect in this year, or were the conversation that we had about that for
2025?
Yeah. They are taking reservations for 2025 now at the 2025 rates.
Thank you.
All those in favor of approving the September 2024 financial report, first, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is item 858:7. Do I have a motion to approve the October 2024 capital budget report? Tom, a second?
I'll second.
All those in favor of approving October 2024 capital budget report, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, in item 85817, do I have a motion to approve the 2024 year-end budget projections and year-end appropriations to amend library's 2024 operating budget?
I'll move that one.
Thank you, sir. Second?
No, second.
Thank you, guys.
Lori, do you want to talk about this one?
I actually kind of touched on them already with the others. I forgot this was a separate item. yeah, you'll notice though too, like the entire budget transfers are net zero. So it's not actually changing what we have appropriated, it's just changing the category limits.
All in favor of approving the 2024 year-end budget projection and year-end appropriation for the library's 2024 operating budget, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item 85953. Do I have a motion to approve the 2025 Intersystem Resource Library Agreement between the Madison Public Library and the Southwest Library System?
Okay.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
This is attached, and it's only a little clarification for me. You want to share with the board?
Yeah, this one was a little bit of a mystery to me. We have signed it for many years, but it has always been the same amount. So I had the opportunity to meet with the Southwest Library System new director, and she invited the director of the Platteville Public Library to the meeting as well. So what this agreement is every library needs to have a resource library. And by state statute, if your resource library doesn't meet three qualifications, then you need to have an agreement with another resource library that does meet those qualifications. And so Southwest Library System is kind of Southwest Wisconsin, smaller communities, smaller libraries. Platteville is the resource library, but they do not have a collection of 100,000 items or more. So they don't meet that requirement, meaning the Southwest Library System has to have a backup resource library. And so this agreement constitutes that backup resource library. In checking with our staff and checking with the new director of the library system, we don't actually get a lot of requests from them. There isn't a formal way to track those requests. So those libraries could call us as a backup resource. It doesn't happen that often. Usually those requests go to Platteville. This is separate from interlibrary loan, so we're not, if we're fielding requests, that would go through a different system. So we can't really tell what work we're doing for this, but we know that it isn't a required agreement. We thought that the best way to go forward, since this has a time attached to it, is to go ahead and approve this. It's already in their budget, it's already in our budget. But we will do a little investigation before we sign a contract next year. Likely that number would go down because we're not actually doing much for it. So if it turns out that we are not doing something that we are supposed to be doing, or that anything changes during that investigation, maybe the amount would go up. So likely we would bring this agreement back to every successive year, but the number might be different.
How about these guidelines are from DPI? For the state?
They're from state statute, the resource library requirement. Reference question. So there's something that they can't answer. So the, it's really like if we have a resource that they don't have access to that we could. We have old city directories, for example, or yearbooks. You know, it's really an agreement that was meant for a time when the majority of reference was done off of a print collection. And now the majority of questions, that you get, you can Google it, right? The one thing that took us a while to work through, and we still haven't really worked through this, is our staff had been doing work for the Boscobel Correctional Facility, which is in that service area, and we were unclear as to whether that work was being done as part of this resource agreement, and that work had increased pretty dramatically because of the core link system that prisoners use to reach out. So we were getting all, as far as we could tell, we were getting all of those requests. So we did reach out to
Southwest Library System about that. They weren't actually aware of it. So it was not part of that contract, or we need to figure that out. So she did give me information for the Department of Corrections librarian, which I'll be following up with. But as it is not specifically called out in that agreement, and they weren't aware of that, I'm not really sure how that happened. We have since stopped doing that work because they switched to a new system of sharing requests, and we're not able to use it in the same way that we could have used the core links. And Chris, you might know a little more about that if you have really detailed questions about that. But it was a service that we were providing that suddenly we were being asked to do a lot more requests. And that was our concern. We were asking for more money. And in that conversation, they're like, well, we're not really aware of that service. It's not coming from us. Like, we're not referring it to you. So that's, it just needs to be clarified. Yeah. And then we need to follow up with the correctional system and see who is required to do that. And if we have to go back and renegotiate, because it is something that we're supposed to do, we'll have to figure that out, because the new platform that they're using is difficult to like track, apparently. You know, you have to like sign up for an account, and it's just a different system. It's really not meant for public library. Mm-hmm.
And we are required to support
that? That is what we don't know yet. Right. I mean, in theory, we shouldn't be. I can't find anything that says that Madison Public Library has to support that. So it really is that resource library question. But the types of questions that we get are not questions that, for the most part, you can't answer off the internet. So even if it's a resource library agreement, the agreement says if you can't answer the question with your own resources, you can reach out to the resource library. But any public library who has access to the internet should be able to answer the vast majority of the questions.
And you said each tier of resources, like the two directories and their books and things, would that also include the databases that we have?
We can't share databases. So that is specifically called out in that, because we sign licensing agreements saying that we don't, you know, we wouldn't give access to people. It really depends on the database. Like, someone might be able to use to answer questions, and some we would use the database to answer the question for them versus giving them access to the database.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Tom. That was helpful. All those in favor of approving the 25 Intersystem Resource Library Agreement between Madison Public Library and Southwest Library System, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Before we move to the election of officials, can I ask for a motion to form a subcommittee to update our bylaws? Speaking of Tom, that's something we are required to do every 2 years, and we don't need this happen, but we can do this.
I'll move.
I think it's time.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Oh, okay.
I would ask if there anyone who's interested in joining me.
I'm in.
Thank you.
I want to do it too.
Oh, okay. We've gotten resources for panel. I thought it would be helpful to look at the board, the foundation's bylaws, and this is kind of an example, and I think we're asking to the resources as well. If you have any questions.
Yeah, I put in, I set up a page of documents. It includes bylaws from like 5 or 6 different libraries around Dane County. It includes the link to our bylaws. It has guidance from DPI on bylaws, and then links to the state statute. I also had the foundation bylaws, but they are a different organization. They're not a public library. And so some of the things there may not apply. So you'll have the examples of other public libraries. We really don't need a lot of work, I don't think, on it. It just really needs to be formally approved and reviewed every 2 years. And then you can also reach out to the city attorney, although they'll know some things about bylaws, but again, they might have to brush up on the state statute. Lots of fun reading.
So we'll talk about Wonderful. So then we'll plan on approving the updated or reviewing the updated bylaws at the next meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All those in favor of forming a subcommittee to update bylaws, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Do you want the election officials now, or would it be helpful to do the report first?
I'm proud of you, of course, first.
Mark, would you like to do the consent report?
Yes, thank you. And usually, this when we're at the library, we focus on that. I don't have something pressing to report at the other locations. At a ridge open 10 years ago, you can do that already in 2014. By 2015, the smell of fertilizer from your face was gone. Some of the things to highlight here is that we're really going to do negotiations for renewal next week. We're in our last year of renewal. And so by the end of next year, we're going to have to have more agreement in place. For the facility itself, we've been working with Baseline Group, who manages this property. They're out of Colorado. And it's had some hits and misses on that. I'm seeing a trend more remote management for our facilities. So, for example, I have recently a pig where a local development was sold to a multi-state unit that purchases facilities mainly from cash flow from our apartments that are there. So, some of the things that we need to address: response time for emergencies. We're very fortunate today we have HVAC in this room. It went out during the election when this was a polling place.
Oh, no.
Brian Jensen, our facilities coordinator, did a great job in getting a string of fans set up to a circulated area at the front door propped open. Again, it took, 2 days for the repair. I was a little disappointed in that, but that's all going to be on the table when we sit down for the negotiation. I don't think the word reasonable can be phrased. I think response time needs to be defined.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of what we're going to be doing going forward. As far as the building itself, myself, particularly Brian, will go out with Jesse on what needs to be worked on out here. A big thing is that the light is we're going to eventually have to approach that. It's very difficult to collapse from the remote. It requires specific type of training to do so, and you can tell it's getting some healing. So this is one of the ideas we have in mind right now is something more of a divider like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's currently closing off the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
That would require some fabrication on either side to still have the emergency exits, but boy, you could really separate the rooms a lot more easily for a system like this. And something like Central is not economically feasible to think about the decors. So once we know we have a lease in place for a longer term, we will approach that, but for now, we're just getting that as well.
A system like that on the south. These guys are products of that first book.
They have models that can get to have better acoustic separation.
So longer lights than what would be anticipated in your term.
I don't think so with that. I think we would probably try to look. I think Steel's biggest thoughts right now is something more like 5 years with like 3 years with something or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's been a wonderful 10 years for the room. It's the size of it. I don't know if you remember when it used to be just that size back in that corner. So that 2014 number is going to be there on that.
So like Mark was saying, if you don't know, like we used to be on the corner of the strip mall, and then we moved over here 10 years ago.
Yes, so this is just a little bit smaller than this, but it's on the this wall can be moved to be more larger.
To see the or the last agenda, because there was a moment to with the group. Oh, good. Yeah, it was when my contact sent that to me, I was blown away. It's really shocking how much that is happening. So basically the South Central Library System is chugging along financially. Everything's pretty sound. The fundraiser they had in October was a success. They've been meeting some challenges with recruiting new drivers. And they did something a little different where they put up QR codes in different places. So if someone was at a bar, they could just scan it and then apply for a job. And it worked. Whatever. The other big news was that, you know how we got the $4 million for Rheindahl? New Glarus Library got $4 million to build a new library, which is very exciting. They had been trying for a decade to raise the money, and they were having no luck. And the city wasn't helping them either. So now they have this money, and they're going to have a great new library. We're all happy for them. And that's my report.
Anybody else have anything to report? I just have a question, and this just might have been, since we covered it sort of in the reference report and the foundation report, but I seem to recall that we were going to have just a standing item about Rheindahl on the agenda. And if that's not appropriate, then we cannot include it. I'm guessing we will have standing items to discuss about it moving forward, but I just wanted to check in with myself. We did talk about that when we discussed the agenda, and there wasn't a lot of so that's why we just decided to incorporate it into the report.
Okay.
Also,
just one humorous question. So I'm just curious, kind of about the pest control. It was in your executive summary for the bed bugs.
Yeah.
So it was that a one time situation, or is this like an annual event, or?
They're a thing in other places. Public health has put out a report saying that bed bugs are on the rise. Mark can probably talk a lot more. Either Mark can talk a lot more about what that is, but
and please jump in if I get anything wrong, but we, when a bed bug is spotted and identified, we have a whole process that we go through, and that might involve removing furniture, it might involve talking to the patron if we can identify who might have brought them in. Sometimes they're found in books, there's a process for that. Sometimes they're found, you know, in our libraries and furniture, there's a process for that. So it's part of everyday life. and, you know, I think it is something that appears to be on the rise. Just like, you know, there are a lot of people and they go a lot of different places and they go to hotels or they stay in shelters and they're, you know, they transmit very easily.
Are they on the rise because the climate is warming up?
Possibly. Okay. I don't know much about it.
I knew this was going to be thank you so much.
I thank the team for handling the difficult part of it.
Okay, let's hit the season for elections. So there will be no bribery. Okay, so we're tasked with electing the office of the president, vice president, and secretary treasurer. And I think that's one position. And so I'm not really sure how we formally proceed with this. Do we just have an opportunity to nominate? And then they accept, or they can pass. They don't have to accept it. And then, once it accepts the nomination, you have to say three times, are there any other nominees? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other nominees? Everyone will say it. Say that three times. And then if there's nobody else, so they need someone to nominate and then a second. You say your thing three times.
Okay.
And then I think that's it. I think that needs approval. I think it just needs. And then say all the
Okay.
And it doesn't matter the order.
Nope. Okay.
Where are we going?
I'd like to nominate Tom for the secretary treasurer.
As long as he knows me.
Well, you at least look and check.
Yeah. Nominations for secretary treasurer. Are there any other nominations for secretary treasurer? Otherwise, any other nominations for secretary treasurer? All those in favor of Tom serving as our secretary treasurer, please say aye.
Aye. I'd like to nominate Matthias for vice president. Matthias, sorry. I don't.
Are there any other nominations for vice president? All those in favor of Matthias serving as vice president at the board, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then last, office of president.
I would like to nominate Lisa for president. You've done a great job. And I'm surprised you're willing to do it again.
All those in No confession.
No bride.
No. There was some arm twisting, but. Is there any, where do we go to see what, who has what term ending when?
It's on the public library. It's on the
library website. And you can also find it in Legislature. The front page can work out the It's a lot easier to find out by.
Well,
they're run by people who do
information for a living. So, yeah. If you literally do Google the Madison
Public Library board, it will
be like the
comes up. I'll find it that way. Okay. I think Tom and I. Mm-hmm. We're the ones for Renewal next.
You are, yeah.
June.
And
I would just like,
when
you
get into three consecutive terms. Three. Some people are serving out a term, so it's a little odd.
Is it three? Are you eligible for three full terms or two full terms, plus filling an unexpired term?
That was a question for the thing that it
will we'll say in the bylaws.
Are serving? I think if you're serving somebody else's term, I think building the full three after that, but that would be a question for the people. Or whoever.
Let's see if it's in the bio.
Pretty big. As I look at
them. No, I see. They look like they're staggered. So that's, they are deliberately staggered.
They're actually, I think, generally supposed to be June, but just the way that people come in and out, it can be a little weird. Yeah. Or like somebody's turns up in June, but they don't actually get elected until September, put on the board in September, because of the way the legislative process works, it's just slow.
But the years look like, because I thought 25, 26, 27. Mm-hmm.
They are staggered intentionally, so you don't have an entire board flip over. Yes, but you'll have to want to. So we will have a conversation in February, and we'll make sure that there's no gap. We've had some gaps in the past, and so we'll have that conversation earlier, so we make sure there's no gap, and then it's really clear who's on the board. Go through the budget conversation. Mm-hmm. And the reason, if you remember, like Alyssa was president for a while, but then she had to leave because she maxed her term out.
I think we need a motion. A second.
Nice try, Lisa.
Do I have a motion for adjournment? All those favors?
Yeah.